So if you have not already figured it out, today's podcast is just with me. I don't even know what this is, dude. So I'm still trying to figure out if I'm going to release this as just a normal episode. If I do, it'd be episode, 63? But I quite have not figured it out yet because this is going to be a little bit different. I'm not sure if I'm going to do these all the time, but I don't know. Right now, in this particular moment, I just got a very, just a sudden motivation and urge to try a solo episode, which is very daunting, not gonna lie. Mainly because I feel like fucking weird doing this. I know I'm talking to you guys, that's the whole point of this. But just the fact that I'm here alone in this room is just talking is just, yeah, that's the hard part you kind of have to get over. But anyways, this is the most vulnerable player for those of you who are just tuning in. In March, it's gonna be 2 years and we're at episode 62 right now. With this one, would be episode 63. I don't know, we'll see. If I enjoy this, I may do some more of these, but you guys really have to give me some feedback on whether or not you guys resonate with this type of stuff, if you enjoy it, because if you do, then I will do more of it. Because I think that's the whole thing. I just wanna cater to you guys more than anything, the people who tune in all the time. And I guess the main reason I haven't done a solo episode in the past is, one, I mentioned, it just feels a little weird at first that I'm talking basically just in a room alone, but I'm slowly getting over it by the minute. But the second thing is also, sometimes I forget that some of you may be tuning in for maybe my perspective or maybe my story. So if that's the case, then one, I really appreciate you. I feel like completely honored if you are here just to listen to me and my voice and my perspective. I do enjoy when I have a guest and they do ask me questions about my own life. Mainly because, first of all, I think it just makes for a better back and forth conversation. And second, I just like hearing myself talk. Nah, all jokes aside, doing things like this allow me to really just reflect on my own life and just kind of put certain things in perspective. For whatever reason, it just feels like a self-therapy, if that makes sense. Pardon the kind of half-assed like studio right now. I was figuring out what I wanted to do, being that it's only me right now. I just wanted a little something different and also something a little bit more cozy. Like, I'm not even wearing shoes right now. If I'm gonna continue doing these, I think these are gonna be much more chill, much more in my just natural element, 100%. I also just wanna get into like just normal everyday things that I encounter and then that you guys encounter as well, whether that comes to mental health, dating, relationships, money, any, all those things that I guess in this age range that we're currently at, which I think whoever's listening, you're probably around the same age as me, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older. But I think we all go through very similar things. I think one of the hot topics right now, or just in general, has always been relationships and dating. Like, that stuff always just gets people's ears up. Love is just one of those things that everybody experiences. Hopefully you do in your lifetime. And I think it's the most, can be the most fulfilling and most amazing thing you can experience. Also the most painful and sad things you can experience. And so those two dynamics, I think, make it just a very hot topic for people to want to tune in, because it's just so relatable. And it's so important to so many people. And I think we all want to find love. Whoever says that they don't want to be loved or they don't want to find a person, I just think they're capping. I don't know. Maybe there's people out there that don't, are really just cool being by themselves. But I highly doubt it. We're social creatures. We need, not that we need someone, but we definitely are better. We definitely are more optimized as humans if I think we have a companion. And yeah, man, everybody can relate to it. So if you see in these episodes that we're talking a lot more about dating and relationships, maybe that's something you're excited for. Maybe it's something you would like. If not, definitely tune into the other episodes, because I feel like this podcast is so wide ranging. We talk about really just people's upbringings, their stories. I have a lot of business owners, artists, where I just talk about their life, their profession. And some of those podcasts are so informative. So if that's what you're here for, you might get some of this on some of that on this podcast. But for the most part, this will be a lot more tailored towards like personal mental health, relationships, dating, and just all that sort of stuff. But yeah, dude, I can talk for hours. Like, I talk so much now that I think about it. And it's crazy because I think if you were to meet me in person for the first time, or those of you who don't know me, I think I'm very, I wouldn't say shy, but I feel like I'm very reserved at first. And honestly, like, I'm not the most I feel like deep in at my core, I'm an introvert. I feel like in order for me to get back to like a normal, healthy state and at my best, I feel like I needed to resort to myself and kind of a little bit of isolation and just quietness. I feel like that's where I can re-energize when I'm not talking to anybody. I can just be in my thoughts. I feel like over the years, I have spent a lot of time by myself. I would say definitely these past 2 years, I've been more out there. Definitely been a lot more active as far as like dating and relationships and stuff like that, more than I have ever in my life. So that's a little bit different for me. I'm still learning a lot about that stuff. I can be very to myself at times. I think it just depends the mood you catch me in. But for these fucking podcasts, I can talk for hours, which is insane. If you know me through the podcast, you're like, dude, this dude will not stop yapping. I got my Topo Chico. I think this is like the the official drink of the MVP is just Topo Chico club soda or mineral water, sorry. Mineral agua, if you will. But yeah, dude, this stuff is just godly. Honestly, a Topo Chico sponsorship, we're manifesting that right now. That would be fire. The Topo Chico Mineral Aguas and also the seltzers. Just putting that out in the air. What day is it? I think it's the 14th. 14 days in, 2 weeks into the new year. I feel very motivated. Motivation is one thing that, in my head, I always think like motivation comes and goes. But when you feel motivated, that's a good opportunity to get shit done and do things that maybe you haven't done before. Because it's not always going to be there. So I feel like if you feel motivated, which I very heavily do now, it's a good feeling, man. I feel like I'm hitting on all cylinders right now. I really want to be more consistent, a lot more consistent. I'm really trying to release a reel a day, which is hard. It's a lot of editing, but I feel like, first of all, I owe it to the audience and I owe it to myself. Like, if I really say that I love this, which I genuinely do, I should be doing everything in my power to ensure its success, the MVP success. And that's how I feel right now. So if you see me posting a lot more and being more active, especially on my personal, don't be surprised. I feel like one of the main questions I get when people come on the pod or just ask me in general is why I started the podcast, why I started The Most Vulnerable Player. And that is a very good question. I guess I can give you the long answer in this podcast. We definitely have time. I mean, I have nowhere to be. Just for context, it's currently 10:05. I wanted to wait till my parents went to sleep so they can don't hear me saying crazy shit. Let me just give you a general summarization of what the MVP is. MVP is a podcast, obviously. That's what you're listening to right now. It is a podcast about mental health, first and foremost. I think that is the main overarching theme of the podcast is mental health. One of the main reasons for that is because some of the experiences that I went through immediately before starting this podcast, and some of them were a little bit more before, a couple years before, but mainly I think the years leading up to the podcast, my life just revolved so much around trying to improve my mental health because it wasn't always the best. And with that, the main kind of objective of why I wanted to start the podcast was first of all, telling my own story, which I did on the very first episode, which I might reiterate a lot of the same things that I said in the first ever episode of MVP. I just don't mind telling you guys again, because I definitely do not want you to go watch that first one. It's still up, by the way, but I don't know. It's just so cringe. I really wanted to allow people to also be able to share their own story about their mental health experiences. And really just some of the hardest things that they were able to overcome. Because when you hear those things as a listener, the main thing, the most important thing aspect of that is that you understand that you aren't the only one going through this shit. When you're like feeling super anxious, depressed, I feel like your mind can just kind of play so many tricks on you. It almost feels like you're kind of the only one going through what you're going through, which in a way you kind of are, because I think everybody's experience is so unique to them. However, I think if you're going through it and then you hear someone just talk about similar experiences, I think it just makes it so much more bearable to experience that yourself, because you know, you can see someone else that was just as down bad as you, that they made it past that. And Once you see that, you inherently understand that, oh shit, like this person got past it. Like, I can definitely get past this. There are times where it does seem very insurmountable, but I feel like for the most part, you know that you can pull yourself out of it. And I just think hearing other people's stories on how they did it and how they're doing now is just so motivating and so inspirational. And it gives you hope more than anything. So leading up to when I started my own podcast, I listened to so many podcasts, like mainly Joe Rogan, of course, just so many podcasts. At one point, it was just a comfort thing for me because, like I said, I think I was so isolated at a certain point in my life where, whether it was by choice or not, I just think like podcasts allow me to just escape and just kind of like really just feel like there was someone else there that can relate to me. Because it just felt like I couldn't relate to that many people at that time that I was going through, whatever I was going through. And yeah, it was just such a comforting thing to have just hearing just very motivational talks and really just hearing conversations that would get my mind off of whatever I was going through at that moment. And also podcasts that genuinely helped me get through the worst times in my life. And I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I think that's what mainly inspired me to do this one, because podcasts helped me out so much. Like now, and I never really thought about it. I think that's what's cool about doing this podcast and like solo podcast, because some of the shit I'm saying to you, I'm putting together myself right now in real time. And yeah, when I think about it, that thought of like understanding that podcasts helped me so much, like I feel like inherently I wanted to give that feeling to other people and give that opportunity to other people. From that, I had already been doing filmmaking and I understood how to work a camera for at least 2 years before I started the podcast. I understood lighting for the most part. My brother was a huge help with teaching me basically all I know about cameras and filmmaking right now. But I just had to kind of learn the audio aspect, how to edit a podcast, because it is a little bit different than just editing a regular video. Once I understood that, yeah, I think it would just all came together. I knew the mental health aspect was going to be the main overarching theme, but also I feel like at heart, the more I think I've been thinking about it recently, I feel like I have very entrepreneurial tendencies, both on my mom's side and my dad's side. My dad in particular is entrepreneur. My mom works at a family business that she helped start with her mom. I'm surrounded by a lot of entrepreneurs that have definitely influenced the way I think and the way I operate. And where was I going with entrepreneurs? Wow. And so with that, I really truly love having entrepreneurs as guests, because I don't know, I just find them so interesting. I'm so curious about how people build these small businesses or whatever ideas they have, that these ideas end up impacting so many people, whether it's a bar owner, whether it's a software developer, whether it's an artist, a musician, just athletes, anything like that. Like I'm so interested in hearing those stories, and I let 100% let curiosity guide me through the entire thing. I genuinely am a curious ass person, dude. Like, if you first get to know me, whether we're friends or we're dating, I will ask you so many fucking questions, dude. Like, it might get irritating. Not irritating, but you might think like, dude, is this dude like interrogating me? Or is this dude like, because I'm just genuinely a very curious person, and I let that guide all the podcasts. So yeah, I genuinely enjoy having these conversations, which is, I think it's just allowed me to keep going, because dude, doing this podcast shit is not fucking easy. Like, doing anything that requires just consistency and just, like, not just consistency, but consistency in the face of, like, sometimes very to little to no reward. I will say, when I say reward, I'm meaning in the terms of, like, viewers, audience, like, people that are listening and getting and feedback and reinforcement. I'm talking that because I feel like I get reward from this, from the fulfillment it gives me. I genuinely enjoy this, but when it comes to some other aspects, like I don't get paid for this shit, dude. Like, I edit literally for hours on end trying to make these podcasts like as good as possible. It's been 60 episodes already. Some months, some weeks, I'm a lot more consistent than others. I think that it's very important to kind of keep an open mind when doing all of this. And more than anything, just continue to do it. I think anybody out there that's doing something that requires this type of consistency, if I were to say anything, it's hard for me because I'm in it right now, but I've experienced moments throughout this time where it genuinely feels like I am on the right path and I am doing the right things and it will be worth it at some point. That's what the beautiful thing about it is, that you just have hope that one day, like, it will pay off, you know? That hard work that you're putting in will pay off. And if you listen to other people who have made a name for themselves and really are doing what they love and were working for years and years before they ever got their big break, like, it was a fucking grind. Probably the hardest thing you can ever do, but they all say it was fucking worth it, you know? And all that hard work wasn't for nothing. I experienced little moments here and there, like for example, the events, the people that come out, the podcasts that do very well, just the feedback I get in El Paso when I'm out and just talking to people. Like, this shit is worth it at the end of the day. And I've met so many amazing people and I want to continue to do it. And honestly, like, I couldn't see myself doing anything else. I don't know. Maybe I'm delusional as fuck. I don't know. I feel like there is something here. And I genuinely do feel that. And I'm going to continue to work. And yeah, man, one day I know this shit's gonna pay off, dude. So that's the one thing about these, is I can go off on tangents. I don't even know if this is gonna even make sense at the end of this podcast, but that's a long ass answer as to what the MVP podcast is. How did it start and what led up to it? I was in high school. I guess we have to go back actually a little bit earlier than that. Who I was just as a kid. I guess when I think about it, I don't have many memories as a child, like, because I guess the running joke with my family is like I didn't have a childhood, which I just feel like I went from birth to like 14 years old, you know? Like, what I remember most is just playing sports. I think that was literally my entire life until I was 18 years old. Did AAU, I did city football, I did school football. If I wasn't playing in school, I was playing in tournaments out of town. Nonstop, dude. Like, it was my life. It consumed my life from childhood to I was, like I said, when I graduated high school. And I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it away for anything. It would have been cool to kind of have like the more like traditional like fucking childhood you see in movies. You're riding your bike with your friends and just doing stupid shit and running in the woods and doing like, I don't know, just shit like that, like kid shit. But I didn't, dude. Like, yeah, I mean, I played with, like, obviously had fun with my friends and fucked around, but it was so much revolved around sports, and I feel like that just shaped so much of who I was. With my family, I was very, such a character, like, so outspoken, so, I'd say I'm a pretty funny person for the most part. I think my family would agree. But at school, around my peers, I feel like I was... Obviously, around my closest friends, I was probably the same as I was with my family, but more of like in a public setting. I think I was a very shy kid, very, very like self-conscious. I feel like if I think back to one thing like that I do remember, I was such a self-conscious kid. Whether it was about my looks, my weight, and like I don't think I was ever like a fat kid. I would think I was chubby at one point, but I was always bigger than everybody. Growing up, I was always tall in class. I feel like with girls, everything, dude, so shy and always just so worried about what other people thought of me. And I think I'm a people pleaser at heart, even till this day. And I think that's something I've realized a lot more often, or I realized a lot more recently, is definitely a people pleaser. I was always just trying to get people to want to, and I don't think I did a lot to do that, but it's always something I thought about. I didn't want people to dislike me. And if someone did, it would just, yeah, it really affected me. And in turn, I feel like that just naturally causes a lot of anxiety, because that's not necessarily something you can control all the time. And inherently, I wasn't always myself, you know? Like I said, I was very quiet at certain points. Every athlete's dream as a kid is going pro, playing in the NFL, playing in the NBA. And I would say that was my dream up until probably like freshman year, sophomore year maybe. It kind of ended for me early, and not so much because I wasn't good. I think I was just so self-aware. I've always been, I think, self-aware. And at that point, I knew I was good. I knew I could probably play in college, but I knew that playing pro was going to be really fucking hard to impossible because I knew I wasn't the most athletic. I knew I wasn't going to be like 6'7", 6'8". And if I wanted to play my position in the NBA, I'm going to have to be like 6'7", 6'8", because I'm not a point guard. And just athletically, I don't think I was there. Definitely wasn't jumping out the gym. Definitely wasn't fast. But I could play. I was good. But I knew that playing pro was just not in my fucking route. You know, it wasn't in my picture. One of my main things that I focused on in high school was just getting good enough to play in college. Dude, when I literally say that's all I did in high school, that's all I did. I was in the gym all the time. Anybody you asked that knew me at that time, they would say the same exact thing. I wanted one thing, and that was just to get better at basketball. At the same time, I always had good grades. I think my parents always made that a priority. And then I remember my senior year, that was the first time I had experienced like real anxiety and panic attacks. And I just wish at that time that I knew that's what was happening and affecting me, because yeah, I couldn't even, at that time, I didn't know that's what it was. You know, I think that's the main overarching like experience that people have, I think, when they first experience like anxiety and panic attacks, that they're really caught off guard by the type of things that anxiety can cause and cause you to feel. Because yeah, I just felt it so viscerally and physically, which led me to feel like there was something like wrong with me, as far as like I thought I was sick or had some sort of like just something was wrong. I don't know if like I thought I had heart problems or what, but I remember going to the ER or not, sorry, the doctor. I had a doctor's appointment. My family went with me. And they did like the whole EKG. They eventually checked out my heart because I naturally have very low heart rate. Through that, they ended up checking me for just heart problems, make sure something wasn't wrong, like genuinely wrong with me. And yeah, I mean, conclusion was that it was anxiety. One of the main things that I noticed that with people's stories is that so many people go to the fucking ER, which it's not, I don't think it's something to be like, yeah, it may be embarrassing, but definitely don't be ashamed about it. I think that's a normal, especially if you're experiencing panic attacks for the first time, you have no idea like what's happening at that moment. I think the natural instinct is to just fucking call 911 because you're just like, dude, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know if I'm having a heart attack. I don't know if I'm dying. I don't know what's going on, but I just need help right now. Like, and so if you've experienced that, if you're going through that, understand that that's so normal, dude. Like going to the ER or going to the hospital, like when you're having a panic attack, don't get me wrong, it's probably not the smartest decision because it's going to be so fucking expensive to make that visit. I feel like it's very common with people who have panic attacks is going to the ER or going to the doctor. For sure, going to the emergency room is a big one because I did that multiple occasions because I thought I was fucking dying. But definitely, yeah, if you've gone through that, it's embarrassing, but don't be embarrassed because so many fucking people have experienced that same thing. I think it can be so embarrassing, especially for a guy. I think it's just because the stigma and the expectations we have to live up to, those expectations of needing to be strong and a rock, and I think those are all valid. I think that does come with being a man, but when it comes to like panic attacks and stuff, like it's such a common thing that if you are going through that and as a man, like, dude, you don't have to be embarrassed. Like, I don't think you should feel so down about yourself if you do, because it's everybody goes, like so many people go through it. I've been through it. It's such a common thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's actually fucking terrible, but it's common, and you shouldn't feel any less of a man. You're not a pussy, you're not a bitch. I know that's kind of like the thing that we resort to as men because we're men, dude. Like we just that's how we look at things. If we show any sign of weakness, of any sort of mental instability, you know, like I think we can be very hard on ourselves, but it's very common. And if you are going through it, you're not fucking alone. So many people are experiencing that probably right now. I think your responsibility, not just as a man, but just in general, is to, if you are experiencing this, once you are able to kind of pick yourself up, I think it is your responsibility to understand why you're feeling that way. And what's causing this, because nobody's going to save you. You will have people that will be there and support you, but the main responsibility is on you to get yourself out of that place. And there's a lot of options. There's therapists, there's medication, and sometimes there is not a reason why, exactly why you're having panic attacks. Yes, I think life factors and stress has so much to do with it, but sometimes you just fucking have anxiety. There's no other way to put it. It's up to you to get help more than anything, and to help yourself, and to really, like I said, understand why you're feeling this way, what's led you to be feeling like this, and do something about it. And that is the beauty of, fuck, dude. That is a reality of podcasting, because I just talked for 15 minutes without the fucking audio recording. I've done that multiple times, dude. Well, now I'm thinking whether I should just fucking continue on or fucking re-say everything that I just said those last 15 minutes. God damn it, dude. Next solo podcast, I will leave off exactly where I left off today, with my mental health journey and story, and what exactly motivated me to start the MVP and what got me to this place. But we've been going for a while, and I don't want to bore you guys with the story any longer. So let's get a little bit more dicey, man. Ooh, okay. How vulnerable should we get? Oh, God. Okay. It's because I read one topic and I was like, ooh, how many girls are listening, dude? Okay. This is all right. This is scary, but let's do it, dude. I'm excited. I'm here for it. We're going to be vulnerable. So going forward, if you have anything that you want me to touch on if you have anything you want me to cover in the next episode, as far as any topics, any questions you have, please send me those, dude. Because honestly, for this first episode, I just formulated all the topics myself. I used ChatGPT. I got all these topics and scenarios to talk about with you today. And let me tell you, ChatGPT is actually fucking toxic as hell, because some of the shit it wrote down is pretty freaking insane. I would love more audience engagement. Obviously, you guys do engage with me, but it would definitely be dope for you guys to send me in things you want to listen to, the topics you want to hear, and just scenarios, and just if you want to hear just my perspective on some of these things. Anyways, all right, one night stands. Ooh, okay. One night stands. First of all, let's define what a one night stand is. I don't know why, this is how my brain works. I always need to define what it is we're talking about before we can actually get into it. So one night stand, in my perspective, a one night stand is, let's just say you go out. I think it involves going out maybe to a bar or a club. You meet a girl, you meet a guy, and you guys fuck. You guys have never met before. Actually, I don't know. Maybe you have met before. Maybe it was in passing, but you don't know much about each other. Yeah, I think obviously a very common thing. Definitely going to be very interesting to see what my parents think about this podcast. just full vulnerability. I have had one night stands. Damn, did I make that plural? But yes, I have experienced them. Me personally, they're fun. Not the biggest fan, though. I actually am not the biggest fan of one night stands and really just casual sex in general. Don't get me wrong, I've done it, I've experienced it. It's fun, it can be fun, but me personally, I think the more I've experienced it and the more I've just kind of thought about it and how I feel about it, I'm not the biggest fan. I don't think it's a bad thing inherently. I think it just depends where you are at in life and just kind of your principles and who you are as a person. I think it's very different for everybody on a case-by-case basis, but it's a part of life, dude. Like, I think if you're in your 20s, you're having fun, like, it's gonna happen. Let's break this down. They're fun in a way because I think you guys are both on the same page, knowing that, like, it's for fun. It's gonna be casual. Like, going into that, you should know that what you're doing at that moment, you guys are just fucking. Like, it's not anything serious at that point, so there's no strings attached. You guys find each other attractive and you're just gonna go crazy, you know, and it could be exhilarating. It could feel, especially sometimes as a guy, and even as a girl too, I think it can make you feel confident. It can make you feel good. Like, damn, I just pulled that shit off, especially if someone you find attractive, you know. One reason I will say that I'm not the biggest fan of them, just the way it makes me feel after. I don't want to make it seem like I look down upon it, because I just think it's such a normal thing. I always feel a little bit, just a little bit unfulfilled. I don't know if that's even the right word, but I think sometimes sex with someone that you're not, don't have a genuine connection with, and that you're not like really in love with, or just you genuinely care about, sometimes it can just be like, yeah, it can be fun, it can be nice, it can be good. But most of the times I don't regret it, but I could have done without it, if that makes sense. The good thing about it though is that when you are having a one-night stand or you're having casual sex, that's what it is. It's casual, it's no strings attached. You really don't have to worry about getting feelings hurt or anything kind of complicating things. It's kind of sex, and that's all it is. So that's one benefit, you know. But one-night stands, it's cool. I've done them. Will I do them again? Maybe. Probably. I mean, I'm young. I know I'm moving to a different city. Like, it's probably going to fucking happen. But unless I find the love of my life, then definitely it won't happen. All right. Another one I got. Going out while not drinking. Can you have fun when you go out and you don't drink? This one is, once again, it's a little complicated for me. So I just don't prefer it. I'm the type of person, if I'm going to go out and have, like, I want to have fun, I'm going to get fucked up. Like, I do enjoy those nights where it's just chill. You just kind of go, you have a drink, you can talk, you can socialize. Don't get too crazy. But for the most part, the times I enjoy myself the most is when I get fucking blasted. But I have gone out while not drinking, and there is a good feeling to that too, because it's always good when you know you can have a good time without having anything in your system, without you being under the influence, because you know that's like your natural state. You're aware of your surroundings. You can leave when it's time to leave. You don't get caught up in any bullshit. Yeah, any of the other extra factors that come along with getting fucked up, you know? You don't deal with the shitty hangover the next day. You can be productive the day after. I just feel like if there's no real point for me, if I'm not going to drink, like, and this is just personal opinion. Obviously, if you want to go out and just spend time with people that are going out, with your friends or family, but you don't want to drink, go out, do it. For me personally, it's like, I'd rather stay home. I'd rather like do something productive. I think the reality is like, I'm not going to say like I have to drink every time I go out to have a good time. That's not the case, but I definitely fucking prefer it, because if I'm completely sober at a club, at a bar, I'm so overstimulated to where I cannot enjoy myself. You know, I feel like everybody's staring at me, and there's just so much shit going on, and I'm just not having the best time. And that's just, yeah, I think just drinking definitely calms my nerves. It gets me just kind of present. And so that's why I say I prefer to drink. Everybody's different. I know people that can go out without having any drop of alcohol, and they can fucking have the best time ever. But yeah, not me, dude. I gotta crash out when I go out, because that's when I have the most fun, you know. Dating advice for nice guys. This one I have lots of experience with, because I think I fall in this category for sure. I think when girls refer to nice guys, I feel like we have to make a distinction between like someone who's like obviously like a nice guy, a polite guy, respectful guy, and then someone who maybe is like a pushover or doesn't have like much respect for themselves, or maybe has like low self-esteem. I'm not looking down on that by any means when I say this, but because I feel like I've been there before. But the thing is, I feel like girls can sense when you aren't confident in yourself and when you're not being yourself. And correct me if I'm wrong for girls that are listening, but I feel like girls are so emotionally in tune with themselves and the world around them that they can pick up on so many little things that you may not even know that you're exuding or portraying about yourself, but they are reading you like a book, you know? I've been in that position of being like a nice guy and feeling like I don't have the most success with girls or women. And looking back, there's definitely like certain things that if I would, like, certain situations with girls that if I look back on, like, I wish I wouldn't have done, because there's definitely things that I tolerated and kind of accepted that weren't good for me and weren't necessarily, like, reciprocating the same type of energy that I kind of deserved as well. I feel like some people give you just enough to keep you there and to have that attention from you. I feel like the nice guy thing to do and the tendency of someone who's considered like a nice guy is that they will continue down that path and just try to do whatever it is they can to get that energy if they're not receiving it. And it just never works in your favor. I promise you that. Like, and this is from experience. If you're giving your energy to something and you are not receiving that back, you should not continue down that path. Like, I've been through it. I've been there. It sucks. But, and it's, you're going to sit there for maybe a few days and figure out, like, damn, what did I do wrong? But I'm telling you, like, it's not worth it. Understand that there is a person out there that will genuinely appreciate and love how you make them feel and you as a person. And anytime, like, you're with them, you're talking to them, you won't go down the path of asking yourself, like, what did I do wrong? Or is there something I did wrong? Like, no, you'll get that reassurance from them. And it won't feel like you're running into this wall every time when it's with the right person. I think it is open, especially if you care about that person, to kind of communicate those feelings. You feeling that something changed and maybe you're not, like, it's inconsistent, or maybe you feel like an energy shift. If you guys talk about it and maybe, like, she does say something to kind of reassure you, but you continuously feel like that energy's off, or you're not getting that consistency you once had, or something is just different, a lot of the times that shit has nothing to do with you, man. It really doesn't. Like, especially with girls, like, it can be so many different things. And what I've realized is it's not worth the fucking stress of trying to figure out what it was that changed or happened, or is there something you did wrong? Is it the way you, like, just anything? It's not fucking worth it, dude. And same thing goes for girls too. If vice versa, if you're experiencing the same thing, it is not worth that stress and pain of trying to figure out what it is that you did wrong. Especially if you've already communicated, try to communicate with that person and try to get that reassurance. Stop going down that path. Just move on. As much as you may have thought that was the one, the fucking love of your life, there's going to be someone out there that appreciates you for who you are. And if it's right, it's not going to make you feel like the way you're feeling right now. A lot of the times, especially for me, like in these situations, I think I got so caught up in trying to figure out why and what it is that I did, but it got me nowhere. It just prolonged the negative feelings for a little bit longer, when in reality, like, there's no point in trying to understand why. Shit, the other person might not understand why, because love and just relationships are so complicated that I think you just owe it to yourself that if you're not getting the energy that you deserve, that you want, and that you're giving them, that you just move on. And it doesn't have to be personal. I think a lot of the times I have taken it personal. Sometimes it's not the healthiest thing to do, but sometimes you do also need to sometimes take shit personal, because I think that provides you with just motivation and just that drive to kind of just continuously become better and do better. It's crazy, because every time I've been in this situation and I've kind of gotten over that one person, you just kind of realize, like, dude, like, I don't know what I was, like, just so hell-bent over, you know? Like, not that person maybe isn't a good person, but you just kind of realize, like, simple terms, like, they weren't for you, you know? Yeah, I just think you owe it to yourself to just move on, man, and just make space for something else to come in and fulfill you. So I'm about to wrap this baby up. Hopefully it went well. I'm actually kind of enjoying these. We'll see. We'll see the feedback. I enjoy doing them. If you guys enjoy them, let me know, because I will continue to do them. Because my audience is kind of limited right now, even though it is, though, I love whoever listens. I love you guys. Just know that. I love you. But I asked ChatGPT to give me some situations, some scenarios to kind of give my feedback on. So let's just pretend that these came in from the wonderful audience. How about that? Hey, MVP, I've been seeing this guy for almost 6 months now. We talk every day, spend weekends together, and even met each other's friends. But he refuses to call me his girlfriend. When I bring it up, he says he doesn't want to ruin what we have or put a label on things. I feel like I'm stuck in limbo, and I don't know if I should keep waiting or move on. What do you think? Holy shit. Dude, I'm telling you, ChatGPT is toxic as fuck. All right, first of all, if you feel like you're stuck in limbo and you feel like you're waiting, and if you feel any type of way about it, you should bring it up ASAP. Obviously, wait for the right time, but definitely if you're feeling any sort of negative way, you owe it to that relationship to, and you owe it to yourself, first of all, to really just talk about it, dude, and be open. So if he is saying, and I quote, he doesn't want to ruin what we have or put a label on things. So what you have right now is basically, it's basically like, I would say, yeah, it's a situationship. Like you guys have been dating, you met each other's friends. I'm not sure if you met each other's family. But he likes what you have right now, which is you guys see each other, you guys hang out, but he doesn't want to put the label. If his expectations of just are just kind of continuing down that path of not labeling things and you want to take things more serious, then you should fucking make that known. And if he doesn't want to take that next step in the relationship, then you guys should just move your separate ways, honestly. First of all, you don't want to just keep feeling like you're in limbo. Like, that's a terrible feeling. Not knowing how the other person may feel about you, or maybe you're feeling that he doesn't want to take you serious and that's something that you want. And so if you're not getting that, and if that's not in his expectations, then you owe it to yourself to remove yourself from that situation, because it's not going anywhere. And you want to save yourself as much time as possible, because you don't want to fucking be a year in and you guys are just like just asking yourself the same question, like, what are we? If I were talking to a girl, I think now from what I've been through and the stuff I experienced, I'm gonna make my intentions know up front. If I'm ready for a relationship, if I'm not, if I'm just looking to like be casual and just catch a vibe, like I will be upfront about that. Those situations can get kind of sticky too. But anyways, I think me personally, I would be upfront. You know what? At this point, like I'm not looking for anything serious. Just the way my life is set up right now, my bank account set up, like whatever it is, I'm not ready. That's the most important thing, to make that known. And if that person is not okay with continuing to kind of see each other and just like, you know, be casual, have fun together, then that's not the person for you, you know? I feel like if that's the goal and that's the expectation, and if you feel like you're there and he still does not want to like put a label on it, then like there's definitely something fishy about it there. And for whatever reason, he does not want to commit. If you want that to be the next step in your relationship, but it's not happening, then you should remove yourself. Me personally, if I was talking to a girl for 6 months and she was with my friends and I really liked her, like I'm like, oh, this is my girl. Like, you're my girlfriend. Like, this is what I want. Like, you're my person. Like, if I'm talking to you for 6 months, like I bring you around my friends, my family, and I'm spending that much time with you, like, nah, fuck no. Like, you're my girl type shit. Like, I'm not just gonna spend that much time with anybody. All right, my girlfriend is still really close to her ex-boyfriend. She swears they're just friends. Oh my God, okay, I already know where this is going. But then they text all the time, and she even went to his birthday party without inviting me. I trust her, but I can't help feeling uncomfortable about how much they talk. Am I being secure? Is this a red flag? Yes, this is a fucking, if there is a next step above a red flag, whatever that is, it's that. Because, dude, like, no, what? You can be cordial with your ex. If you see each other, like, I don't think there's anything, like, in public, I don't think there's anything wrong if you got into that point that you can say hi to them and that's it. But if you are fucking texting them and if, hold up, if you're, there's no reason why, if you're in a relationship with someone, that you shouldn't show any sort of attention or any sort of like friendliness to your ex. Like, that is completely off limits. Like, I don't know if that is your situation, then yeah, dude, that is not an insecurity. That is a fucking red flag. All right, that one was quick. We'll do one more. The secret open relationship. Ooh, okay, that sounds juicy. My girlfriend recently brought up the idea of trying an open relationship. At first, I thought she was just curious, but now I'm starting to think she already has someone in mind. Ooh, she probably does, my friend. She's been spending a lot of time with this friend from work, and I can't help but feel like this is her way of testing the waters. How do I approach this without sounding accusatory? Whew, okay. All right, first of all, if it was me, dude, like, I don't know, maybe in a few years, something drastically changes and I'm open to this, but open relationships are just, they're just not my vibe. They're not my cup of tea. I just don't see how I can get to that point of knowing that someone's my girl and knowing that we're so locked in with each other that we want to like have sex with other people. It's a little insane to me, but hey, whatever floats your boat. Chances are if the idea of an open relationship is already in the fucking works, of course they have someone in mind. Like if that's already in the mix and the question, they for sure know the rotation, they know the roster, they know their first fucking contestant, like 100%. Like I think if that was the case, 100%, you know your next go-to. So I think dude, ChatGPT's funny, man. This shit is actually comedy. That is episode I don't fucking know of The Most Vulnerable Player. The only reason I say that is because I don't know if I'm going to do like these as a special like series or this is just going to be a next episode. So not sure when this will come out, but I'm very interested to see how you guys like this. If you enjoy the solo podcast, if you enjoy my perspective on things, definitely let me know. Let me know what I can improve on. Let me know what you disagree on first and foremost. And definitely ask me questions and ask me topics to talk about on the next show because I will definitely use those and run with those because I want to interact with you guys, man. More than anything, I appreciate you guys tuning in. If you're listening, if you're watching on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, I love you guys from the bottom of my heart, and I will continue to get this shit rocking, man. That is The Most Vulnerable Player, and I will see you guys next time.